We're batting cleanup tonight on the Feudal Podcast.
You see that?
Dude. I'm Ian. We got Zach and Blaine. If you want to email us, send us an email to feudalpodcast@gmail.com. Hopefully you've seen the flyers that have been distributed to HSU without permission of the SC.
And SCR.
Oh, you did?
No.
You're a piece of shit, Blaine. You're a real piece of work. Fantastic.
Don't worry. Hey, Blaine, put it on pause. Let's go.
What?
Put on pause.
No.
It'll be on pause for like 25
minutes.
This
is the best game of my life.
I don't care. It's still funny that way with him playing pause as you're drinking milk with your Taco Bell.
Yeah. The image of you just losing it and going batshit insane is really funny.
But that's true for anybody.
No, it's funny for you.
It's why? Why for me? Because I have the funny face?
No, because you have this air of someone who's... Well, desperately trying to exude
to keep it under
to exude command and control. That's what you're desperately trying to exude.
But it's obvious don't have it.
Seething underneath is this beast that just wants to be freed.
Uh-huh.
If you don't mind the expression,
yes, no, by all means,
it wants to be let out. Mm-hmm. It wants to crack a few skulls and drink a little blood, maybe have a little sex.
Possibly.
Are you done with your shitty game yet? You're not doing very good.
I was doing.
I'm gonna have a dark chocolate one now and see what happens now.
Now you're playing with fire.
Seth and I were arguing about...
Speaking of freeing the beast, you said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No. We were talking about, like, human emotions, and Seth seems to have this sense that, like, all emotions are, like, can be, like, intellectualized or something.
Sounds like he has some book learning.
He's got some book learning, for sure. DVD learning is how he gets it, from these DVD, like, courses that he orders.
You gotta be kidding me.
No. He's got a whole, like, bunch of them.
You're joking, right?
Next time you're at his you're hanging out at his place, he's got a whole bunch of them. Like, it's like psychology and stuff.
This is a practical joke, right?
No. It's for real.
Yeah, I got plus
Joey
four.
Greco's about to come out right now with a video.
Oh, did she tell you that the only thing we could find on TV to watch while we were eating sushi
Cheers?
Was Cheers?
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with it.
You know what Joey Greco's kryptonite is, right? Getting stabbed.
Yeah, Seth was talking about that.
That's his kryptonite. That's the one way to stop Joey Greco when he's bothering you. Just stab him. See what happens.
Stab him a good one.
Gosh, his composure was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the episode where he gets stabbed?
I think Seth and I did, yeah.
Have you seen the episode where Joey Greco gets stabbed?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Cheaters. What are you talking about?
What the fuck is wrong with you, dude?
You're saying Cheaters?
No.
It's a show where they catch people cheating on each other. Right?
Wow.
Well, here's what happens. Some white trash piece of crap comes to Joey Greco and goes,
listen. It's a reality show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It's on right now, probably.
It's probably on right now. Okay, here's what happens in the show. Some piece of trash comes up to Joey Greco and goes, hey, I think my bitch is cheating on me. And he's like, all right, we'll come into our green screen room here and we'll film a little testimonial. And they're like, I've been going out with Melissa, or usually her name's something like Crystal or like Charmaine or something like that. I've been going out with Charlemagne. I've been going out with Louis the 14th for I've been going on and off with her for like 7 years. She cheated on me 8 or 9 times before. I think this time she's cheating on me again.
She's my fiance.
Now she's
I've given her
we're
my
kind of thinking about
ring.
Getting married. I cheated on her a little while ago, but I told her I was sorry. Anyway, I just got money for this tooth replacement, and I think she stole some of it because now I can't find the rest of the
is
money.
Is this real?
Yeah, sure. This is the basic. This is the general, typical response for the show.
And then the best way, so you're watching it because these people are pieces of shit. They do it to themselves,
right?
And you're laughing, you're having a good time. And then about 3/4 of the way, they hit you with the bomb. And I don't know if Kristen mentioned the joke that I made.
Nah.
But the bomb is that then all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's a kid involved. And then it's not funny anymore.
Yeah. No, it still is.
But it's that much more dark.
And then, that's the interview part, right? They're getting set up. They're telling you what's going to happen. The person who's sitting there staring, they're usually kind of unattractive. So then you go to IRL, and they're going to do videotape stuff. They have detectives, right? Mm-hmm. Right. They got private detectives.
Cheaters detectives.
They're licensed.
By cheaters.
And they go, and they take night vision cameras, or whatever, mm-hmm. usually night vision, and then they go wait outside the person's apartment. Mm-hmm. Right?
Or, like, say, like a Denny's or Chili's.
They go, we had John tell Charlemagne that he's going out of town.
They basically shot all of these, like, outside of Riverside, California.
Usually, yeah. And then it shows the white trash person getting out of their car with some gigantic black man, right? And they go, and then the detective's like, they take all the stuff back to Joey Greco, and then Joey, he's the host, he's a really sleazy, like, he looks like a porn star, pretty much.
I think he's from...
Just like the Feral Kid.
We're forgetting about Tommy Grand was the original host.
I don't care about him.
You Joey Greco with the got Tommy Grand years? That's true.
So Joey Greco goes to the guy, and he goes, hey, listen, you're not going to like what you see, but I need to show you this.
But
videos.
He
and
always,
they don't show them on the TV.
He always spoon feeds him. He always like gives him like here, like you know, they oh yeah, she
first,
met with a friend,
first,
and then they went to do
yeah,
some laundry.
Yeah, they do it piece by piece, like they introduce it to the person.
They try
and
to
the person saying they're
him.
Watching it. Oh, they don't show it to him on the TV screen. They show it to him on the video camera.
Yeah,
because that's the high tech equipment
yeah.
they have. And he goes, and then this is going to be hard for you, but this is we snuck in and we got a warrant and we put, which they didn't, you know.
Yeah.
And then, we put a video camera inside this condom, and you know, like, and they have like explicit mm-hmm. video of the person.
It's in
cheating,
the Thomas
right?
Kincaid,
and then they show it to the guy, and the guy's
in
like,
the diner.
"Oh shit! Oh shit!" And he starts crying, and like he's rocking back and forth. And Joey Greco's like, "I'm sorry," and his face is so sour and sad. But inside, he's going, "Yes,
no, yeah, it's
he's
really
reveling
it.
He wants
yeah.
to drink the tears of this crying white trash guy."
Mm-hmm.
So then, this is the greatest part. Then they go for the confrontation. They get John, and they put him with Joey Greco, and they go try to find where Charlemagne's getting out of her stripper job, and they meet her outside in the parking lot, and usually the other guy is there, the cuckolding man,
mm-hmm.
the big black cop guy, and he's usually there, and then they all have a big confrontation, right?
Mm-hmm.
This one time, they do it on a boat. They get out to the boat, and this guy's like, "Yo, you was cheating on me." And she's like, "Yeah, you was cheating on me first." And the third guy's like, "What are you doing? Get out of here. I don't want you here."
And he's got like
yeah.
like a couple kilos
really
in the you know bottom of his boat.
He's really angry because he's the one who got caught. Like, he's just the third guy. He's the extra guy, right? He doesn't want to be on TV. So they usually blur out their face half the time. So anyway, this one time, and usually Joey Greco's like, "Why'd you cheat?" And they're like, "I don't want to talk to you." He's like, "Well, you're going to have to because you're on TV." And they're like, "No, I don't." He's like, "Why'd you do it?" And they're like, "Ah, shut up." And then they just keep talking to the person yelling at them. And then they usually
jump in like one of their big overblown cars, like 7
yeah.
DVD players turn on.
Yeah, exactly.
And
they've
got
a van.
Off.
They've
yeah.
got like a child molester van with a whole bunch of like video cameras and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, then at the very end, you see one last testimonial from the person. They're like, "Yeah, we broke up. I got kicked out of my house. So, but I'm glad I found out that they were cheating on
oh,
me."
No.
So this one time,
uh-huh.
Joey Greco, they get on the boat,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, "Hey, we found out that you're a cheater. What do you think about that?" And the guy takes up a big knife and stabs Joey Greco. And here's how professional he is. He doesn't freak out. He just lays there and goes, "He stabbed me. I'm bleeding pretty bad." And he's like so... He's so, like, deadpan and shocked that he keeps just looking at his hand, and, like, they usher him off, and he's all pale, and, like, oh, it was great. It was fantastic. He got stabbed.
That's commitment.
It's commitment to your craft.
We didn't know he was going to get stabbed.
You have to know. All the people they deal with are just...
Like, eventually you're going to get
it's
stabbed.
It's the chaff
right?
of mankind. It's all the chaff.
None of the wheat.
The guy from To Catch a Predator hasn't gotten stabbed yet.
Yeah, that's
Hansen.
Because there's probably armed guards. There's
oh, yeah,
always
yeah.
cops outside the house.
Right. Yeah.
If they stab them, the cops would probably just shoot the guys when they leave.
Okay, sweet.
They would shoot the shit out of that
yeah.
guy. Child molesting pieces of shit.
Hey, Blaine.
What?
Let's do it.
I saw that.
So Seth and I were talking last night. Seth had a couple beers after that, and he was telling me about life and about how to do things. And one of them came down to like how like most of your emotions are intellectual stuff. Not intellectual,
you learn
but like,
from a DVD.
You can intellectualize them. Yeah, he learned it from a DVD.
Wow.
And And I was like, well, I mean, there's a point at which most
is it a DVD series by the guy who sells OxyClean?
No, it's pretty much
sells everything.
Oxy Billy Mays,
like Ryan Popeil.
No, it's not Ron Popeil. It's Billy Mays. Billy Mays, like Billy Mays here for Super Putty.
Ron Popeil sells
Super Putty, where like you can like take a chain and Super Putty it like to like a.
Yeah.
Like a
Barry Mays, and that's his name?
Billy Mays.
Billy Mays. Ron Popeil sells. I was almost said jokes. He sells books that talk about how he made so much money.
Oh right.
And you can too.
You
can self-actualize your life.
That's like Kevin Trudeau or
Kevin Trudeau. That's the one.
Ron Popeil is the juicers and stuff.
Yeah.
Isn't
that Jack LaLanne?
No, Jack LaLanne is a juicer. And Ron Popeil is the roaster.
Which is the cook, the world's greatest cook, who has the mental thin mustache and always wears the damn, and he always is selling things that chop things up into tiny bits.
I'm not sure about that one.
Damn it. He comes out, it's Chef Something, and he comes out, and the woman he's with is always like, hey, it's you, the greatest chef in the world. He's like, yeah. And the audience is like, he must be true.
He has a little label.
Yeah.
The best ones are if you've ever watched one of those infomercials for like the Dick Make Bigger pills, and they have the audience, and the people asking questions.
No, there's this one.
And it's like, no, give me
there's
my...
There's this one.
You can tell they're so shamed, like, no, give me my $10.
Yeah. There's this one where there's these... four girls on a couch, and then a woman guest host and a male guest host. I forget what it was for. It might have been for Extends or something like that.
I think we're talking about that certain part.
Yeah, that certain part.
And then they only mention confidence because they can't legally say anything else.
His confidence. And then the funny thing is that the male host is like, the girl will say something, and she's like, yeah, I dated a guy for about 4 years, and... yeah, things weren't that great because, you know, that certain special thing down there that was, like, all tiny and shriveled. And the guy, like, he's not listening. Then he goes, uh-huh. Like, he's looking around, like, he's got a thing in his ear. They're like, answer. And he's like, uh-huh. And would you say if he had this pill, you would still be with him today? And she's like, I can't say. I don't know. And he's like, but it's possible. And she's like, yeah, that would be nice. And he's like, there you go. I wish we were watching it right now.
I've watched that so many times.
Too.
It's just always.
I'm always hoping that they're going to start getting explicit.
Like
I was sucking this guy's cock, and it was so skinny that I had his balls and his dick in my mouth completely.
No, but
and
you
I
remember
still
like
breathe
the,
normally.
The street people, they talk, you know, to people on the street, right?
Yeah.
And they're like always like foreigners and stuff. You Jesus know what I mean? Crappy. They're like, The effects were very dramatical. Like he actually says dramatic.
It's either that or it's some like way too happy black people.
Yeah.
And the girl's like, she's like, child, his dick is so small. He's like, it's true, it's tiny. And they're like, I will use that shit, and we just got all big and shit.
Oh my god!
Not to get all racist.
And she said,
that's like, how they
sound. If he stopped using it, she'd leave him. And he's like, that's. And she's like, no, seriously. He was like, yeah.
Wow.
I want to make an infomercial.
It sounds like the best ones.
I'm
going to
make
thinking.
An infomercial about a pill that makes your dick smaller because it's too big and it hurts. It's gigantic. It rips me to shreds every time. I wish there was a way to make it down a little bit.
Oh, gosh. Call it the insinkerator.
The incinerator.
Yeah, like it
sounds like
a
what do you think about that for
no,
a while?
I just didn't get
if you,
like,
if
what
you
that
can.
Means about the dick getting smaller. You're going to stick the dick in the garbage disposal?
Yeah. All your problems are.
What if it's what if I'm talking about the girth though?
Yeah,
the girth.
You know girth.
Yeah, you. I don't know.
You're just going to make a chode if like, you stick it in the
grips, like little droplets of like bleach or something.
Wow.
Did that do anything?
You don't know anything about anything, do
I know
you?
Everything about dicks.
Yes. Well, he studied them extensively.
Bleach shrinks dicks. Maybe lemon juice. Did that do anything?
Like
maybe
you squirt it into your urethra?
Whoa.
It'll kill the spirochetes in there.
Sour.
So many spirochetes.
It would shrivel up and...
Spirochetus X, the new thing. You put enough spirochetes in your dick and they'll just eat it from the inside.
Oh, God.
I've only got the shell of my former dick. My wife loves it.
It'd be like a hollowed-out test tube or something.
Yeah, right. What were we talking about earlier?
Infomercial.
A movie or something? I don't remember. Oh, yeah, you were talking about envy.
Well, basically, it was...
This gets back to that a little bit.
Yeah.
Those girls were envious of other girls who had guys with more confidence.
Exactly.
I wish my guy had more confidence. And the guy, the host is like, what are we talking about?
Exactly.
I'm not sure if I get your innuendo.
That's ridiculous.
I like how they're constantly like, you're like giggling all the time, too, mm-hmm. Because
it's
like,
funny.
Yeah, I love confidence.
It's like, ah, me too.
If you know what I mean.
You know what's funny is that dicks. So they're constantly coming out new studies that show that a vast majority of women, like 90%,
constantly
like,
coming out with studies.
No, constantly. New studies always. By new people, always.
Always.
And they're always
so
like
it's falsifiable and repeatable.
Oh, no, yeah, exactly. And they're always like. There was like
in, big
the mass of women who say that
these are published in Average Dick Monthly. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. How to feel good about your average dick?
5.75.
The thing is this: it's like you can easily go on any sort of like internet thing. Like you just go to CNN, and like look it up through their site, and they'll be like, "Oh, study shows that most women prefer normal dick size and like too big."
Here's this picture
like
of the
and then
UFO,
all infomercials are like. Everyone knows that women like gigantic cocks that just tear them, you know? Like to kill a little bit of their...
I think porn stars and sluts probably do. And that's what they're advertising to.
That's the thing. Is
guys
that
want
to
sleep with
that's
porn
the thing
stars
is maybe
and sluts.
They don't. Anyway, so the point is, on all these infomercials, they're always like talking about, oh yeah, every woman agrees that what they want is a...
How is that not
playing
off of guys' insecurities?
No, what they usually say is that women want a guy that's confident, and then they use the confidence excuse. Because it's a legal thing. It's like, because it doesn't work.
Well, no, it's just because
you don't magically... No, it's because you don't magically grow something like that. It doesn't work. So if they just say... If they say it's a placebo effect, but you're paying for the placebo effect... Then you're getting what you need in the end anyway.
But
then if I take a magic pill that makes me smarter, then I'll start thinking that like I won't transpose as many
numbers.
You're
really generalizing this thing though, because like have you seen the ones for what's the
Enzyte?
One called Enzyte? Thank you.
That one didn't they get sued?
They got
something?
Sued, but here's the thing: in the commercials they say,
but that's a different
it's
one.
Clinically
isn't...
proven to no, it's the same. Sort
that's
of
not
thing.
A dick
like,
make
they,
bigger.
They
that's a dick stay big, right?
Yeah, but that's the
no,
same
it's
thing.
A dick
that's
make bigger. They say it's supposed to grow.
All the things are like. Like, it keeps it that way, but it's not, like, you know, permanent. You have to, like, keep... Isn't it just like Viagra, basically?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's different than Dick Make Bigger. Dick Make Bigger is supposed to be, like...
Yeah, but
a,
no,
like,
they're
it,
trying,
it
to, say
it
one, they're trying to say that your turgid priapus is going to be larger than it previously was.
Exactly. Right? As opposed to just the regular priapus.
There is no regular priapus. It's turgid.
Yeah.
It's turgid.
Buck Turgidson.
That means the osmotic potential has reached a certain point. Of no return, if you will.
And then tepid, fetid white substances come out of the
turgid
priapus.
That's
how they should talk in commercials.
Would you say that you would have been with this guy if his turgid priapuses were larger?
And more tepid?
Yeah. And the liquid that flowed forth was less tepid and more piping hot. Caliente. She likes a splash of hot cum in the morning.
That's muy pineapples.
Yeah.
Eat burritos.
I had something.
But yeah, why did they get sued?
You were saying something about about confidence and studies being shown.
I think you were generalizing the confidence thing because a lot of them do actually say the things about like they're actually saying, well, this is known to make that thing bigger.
Mm-hmm.
The thing, you know.
Weird.
Your dick. Yeah, they can claim to do that
certain
because if the FDA hasn't approved it, they can't
body.
Disprove it. So you can say it as long as you have your own tests that show.
But then how can they sell it legally if the FDA has?
They got this doctor
it?
On there that
want.
Runs
they,
this.
They just have to say the FDA is not
Klein
approved.
Medical Institute. Yeah. Yeah. It's approved.
Upstairs,
like,
upstairs Mexican medical
it really
college.
Works.
Huh?
Yeah.
It does indeed make that certain part of the male body larger.
What's funny is that it. Like, on all those weight loss things, they always say, like, results not typical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it says that, like, you know, basically this isn't going to work.
In small type.
Yeah.
Yeah. But on the cock things, they never say that. They never say results not, because they don't want you to read it and go like, oh, there's a 1 in 10 chance this is going to make my cock huge if I pay $60 a month for this pill.
Wow.
So, Ian, go ahead and talk about some envy.
You have envy in your life, and if you have it in small amounts, it's actually good because it motivates you to do other things. You know, you're like, okay, well, say, like, your friend has something, and you're like, oh, man, I want that, too.
Like an Xbox.
An Xbox, or an ice cream sandwich, or a car with OnStar, or some stupid shit like that, right? A drumstick. Fantastic. I actually use a drumstick
pony.
Example. Pony.
A girlfriend.
Ah, I want one.
Really?
No, yeah, I do.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, weird, right?
What's wrong with you, you faggot?
Well, according to Seth, right, you shouldn't have any real emotions for her until after you know.
How does that work?
Yeah, I don't know how that works. It didn't make sense to me either. So, yeah, you used to have like 10 awkward dates with her first.
And then suddenly you're like, you know what? I think I want to go out with this
I think
chick.
I like you, yeah.
Okay. Like, that I'm glad we arbitrarily decided to do this.
Seth seems, Seth thinks that's the thing. Is he thinks you choose to have emotions. He thinks you choose like to decide to like feel
something.
We're slaves of our emotions.
What does Seth think about the ideas of Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels?
I don't think he knows about Friedrich Engels.
He doesn't know about Friedrich Engels and Karl Marx? They're the same guy.
Really? Karl Marx?
They wrote the manifesto together.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Engels was his writer, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. See, he starts sounding eerily commie when he starts like saying, well, no, you should choose this. You should not feel it.
The pure idea of communism is that You can weed out emotions. Basically, the idea of human nature. The idea is that if there is no such thing as, I mean, anything beyond just this animal body that we are, then it should be easy to weed out the idea that everyone is born with like a human nature that is greedy and lustful and all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And capitalism takes it and says, "Hey, guess what? Everyone's greedy and lustful. Let's sell them some stuff." That's how capitalism works. Communism says everyone's not actually greedy and lustful. They're taught to be that way. So after a few generations...
Yeah, but that's not true.
I know. That's what communism says. That's the purest thing in communism. And so the idea is after a few generations, you can completely filter that out. And that three generations from now, your great-grandchildren can be completely pure of it. If you teach your kids and they teach their kids...
It's like a Vulcan thing or something.
They will only think...
No, because you can't. Here's the thing.
Because every kid...
Because they're always like, I want some of that purple stuff.
No.
A six-month-old kid will punch out a kid next to him to get a cookie.
I can argue it from like, you can do the whole like, you can do sort of an existential side, which is more philosophical, and can be just as filled with psychobabble. You can do a religious side, which is, you know, spiritual, and just as irrelevant as the psychobabble. Or you can do a biological side, and I mean, there's a degree of evolutionary psychology there, which I think is kind of a new thing and kind of bullshittery. But basically,
skullduggery.
But basically, if you compare humans to animals, which they are, then all the quote unquote bad emotions are along a spectrum. So you're right. So capitalism is based a lot on envy and on greed and on things, but to a point. It's like, I want what you have, but I'm not going to kill you and take it from you. Or I don't want to not have you not have it.
Right.
It's the difference between a good person and a bad person. You have, let's say you have a girlfriend. Let's just say you have one. Yeah.
Thanks. Let's say I have one.
Let's say Blaine has. Let's say Blaine has a cute.
Yeah. Hoarding all the girlfriends.
Has a cute little.
She can be Asian. She can be white. I don't really like Mexican black people.
Just let him talk.
All right. I'm trying to.
You're trying to
make it more realistic.
A nice little Inuit girl.
Ooh. It's an Eskimo.
Yeah.
Except for not. It's an Inuit.
Yeah, it's an Inuit. No.
When I think of Eskimo, I think.
She's got a big ass.
Mm.
I like that.
She's definitely got the badunkadunk going for her.
I don't like ghetto booby.
She's got an A-cup. I know you like them flat, Jess.
That's not true.
Flat as a board, light as a feather.
Light as a feather. Exactly. Red eyes.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, and I don't, and I'm a miserable lonely guy, right? And I see that, and I'm like, man, she seems like a nice girl. Good for you. I should go, you know.
You son of a bitch.
I should
right?
go, or I could be like, or the bad guy would be like, you son of a bitch, I'm going to take that from you. I don't want you to have, or either way, as long as you end up just as miserable as me, misery loves company, that's a bad person. I mean, it works in narratives that way all the time, and that's just sort of how life works. A good person will see, will use this sort of, like, bad emotions.
I don't think it's that black and white, though.
No. Well, you're right, it's not, but it's a spectrum, like I said. Right. So, but a good person will, by and large, use, like, things like they'll feel envy but because somebody else has something else, and this is how capitalism pretty much works, how marketing works, and all this other stuff. And they'll decide if that's based on something for real, based on something that they want to try to achieve. And then they'll use reason and be rational to figure, well, what are the steps I need to achieve this,
to get this? It's purest, I'm going to digress a tiny little bit here and you can get back to that. But it's a very purest, yes, the very purest girlfriend. Base of this is this, with the capitalism, socialism things that we're talking about, the very opposite ends of the thing. The capitalism thing, you say, the socialism thing, you say, after a certain amount of generations, when you robotically train these people to want to do the best...
Pure egalitarian.
That's the thing, you have to train them.
Well, exactly, that's the point. No, that's what they say, is that there is no nature. Bullshit. Karl Marx believes, since religion is all opiate of the la la la, there's no God, there's no human nature, there's no soul, it's just animals that can be trained. And what he says is, you can take... three generations down the road, this kid, after their parents are born with it and your parents are born with it, this kid is going to grow up and think about the community first and think, what can I do that will benefit...
It takes a village.
What can I do that will benefit everyone? And that's the first thing he thinks. Do you think it's possible that anyone could ever do that? To ever think, what can I do to benefit everyone else before myself? So anyway, don't answer that.
I couldn't say just because.
That's the idea that, like... ideally, the Soviet Union or Communist China would have said back in the 60s or whatever, would have said, listen, what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to make it so that scientists for our country will want to make some great new technological advance that will benefit everyone just because. And then America said, bullshit, we'll take those scientists from you and we'll offer them money and say, listen, we'll give you $1 million if you make that for us instead. And they're like, okay. And it benefits American society.
And then you get to do with it what you want. And you get to have a swimming pool.
It's not just that. And the envy thing works into that too. Because if you see that your next door neighbor did something, let's say invented something, since we're going on this helping out society thing. And he becomes wealthy, gets a beautiful wife because of it, has a happy life, yada, yada. And you think, oh man, I'm smart. I can do that too. What drives you to try to make something that benefits society? You know, which is, for instance, you know, it's the boon and the problem of the thing, which is with medicine. Usually the big technological answer in medicine, something like that. The problem is that some company owns that. But the idea is the person who invents it and develops the thing is going to get millions of dollars from
a Nobel
GlaxoKline
prize and stuff.
Yeah, and then they're going to own the rights to be able to help people if you pay for it.
Uh-huh.
That's the whole thing. So the idea is the guy who invents the hydrogen bomb for America instead of for Germany is the guy who got paid more to do it. And because
we stole their scientists.
I understand that, but they don't just do it for like idealistic purposes. Yeah. And if they do, it's because of hatred of something. Like, you know, someone who idealistically loves their country and is in a war and wants to blow up the other one, that's not for some like robotic animal purposes. Because if you're trying to kill someone, you're trying to kill them because you hate them.
Like the whole some sort of space race and stuff. They're like, yeah, you got this. We want to beat you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's all an empty
ego. Yeah.
So
yeah.
The idea is that human nature is innate. Everyone's born with this. You can call it whatever you want, but I call it like a sinful human nature.
Well, selfish.
Exactly. The whole point of it is selfishness and greed, and that's you're born with it. And so it's not like an apologetic tone to it, but the capitalist idea is that, you know, you can use that to benefit society.
You have to, because if you don't, if you deny it, then you're in a constant state of repression. You end up in communism. Doesn't work because people deny it, and then some that get into the right position don't have to, and it doesn't work.
It's been proven it doesn't work. It's the same thing. Like capitalism is to communism like democracy is to just like some socialist thing where like you get and no one votes anyone in, or like a monarchy or something.
Yeah,
like
it would be something like that.
and the thing is, like Winston Churchill said, democracy is the worst type of government except for all the other types of government.
Exactly.
Like, you know, they really are very flawed. And what you were saying about the person who's the good person can choose to use that envy or whatever to benefit their own life. And I think that's a really, like, that's also a very idealistic viewpoint of that, because I think that everyone works on a very personal selfish.
There's a degree of spectrum to it, but basically, what Seth was saying was the semantic thing was that the definition of envy is that you dislike somebody else because they have something you want, and so I mean, on some level, maybe he's right, but I think that to look at the term, it does apply in real life. Everybody experiences it.
Is he saying that's the only reason you dislike someone?
No, he's saying...
So I dislike a lot of people, and I don't want anything to...
Yeah, exactly. No, he's just saying that, like, it's a bad thing. It's a pure 100% bad thing is envy. And I'm saying, no, it's something that everybody has, and they recognize they have it on small doses, and they temper it, then they can use it to do good things. Because we are animals, first and foremost, and we do want what the other animal has. That we are in competition on some level. Mm-hmm. But you... So you use your emotions, but you don't deny them, you don't repress them, and you sure as hell don't get to choose them sometimes. You just have them. They just happen to you.
So he says you choose your emotions.
Well, he seems to think that you can control... that it's all... That you can be rational about it. That you can use rationality.
Yeah, but sometimes you're like, you know...
No, but that's often a repression.
That's fine, but it's still control.
Yeah, but repression isn't like not... The missing existence of it.
I don't think it. There's people who can live their whole lives without it manifesting itself. You can repress it as long as you want until you die. In some cases, there's sometimes people always try to make it sound like it's something where you're shaking this bottle and eventually it's going to pop.
Yeah,
I don't think that always.
The
happens.
Beast will be free.
I think there's people situations in their lives where the beast is never going to be free, and they can live with it being very deep down in there, and that's fine. That's control. I think though that. If he believes that it's all a choice, then he's going to find at some point in his life that there's just something that's going to infuriate him, and he's going to lose it and realize that he's wrong about that.
It's possible. I think
so.
Just like about money train.
But, you know, maybe I'm being wrong about this, because money train is kind of like the evil, sinful selfishness of human nature.
Yes.
And I'm trying to keep it down. I should just let it kind of...
wash over you.
Yeah. Come out of my esophagus and spill all over the floor.
But the thing I'm saying is, I'm not saying it's evil. So you're giving it this. You're qualifying.
I think it's evil.
It.
I think it's fine to embrace that it's evil. I think that every single human being is innately, at their core, evil. And anyone who fights that, they're trying to be good, and that's what makes a good person. Because there's no such thing as a good person. There's people who try to be good. Nordberg quickly hands him a romance novel,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, he plunged his purple-headed walker deep into a jungle of love pudding.